Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. Well, we've got just a crazy week of football coming up, a crazy weekend of football, then a holiday, and then another crazy week of football. It's finally back. I couldn't wait. I'm so glad that it's football season finally. I don't know if this day was going to ever come. I feel like I've done so many things to get by in the meantime. I mean, it hasn't been football season for so long. I really didn't think it was coming back. There's been so many seasons of shows that I've watched, so many movies, gone to so many events, seen so much family, seen so much of the country, traveled, haven't seen the world, but that's another time. We'll see if I can get to that. But I just feel like I'm a different person now than I was last year. Not necessarily a better person, but just a different person. I'm sure you all feel that way. You probably had your fantasy drafts. You probably loved your roster or hated it on day one. Now you've probably found somewhere closer to a middle ground. You may not love your roster anymore, may not hate it. You probably had a guy that you thought we were really high on, and now you're not so sure about. Probably had other guys that, like Royce Freeman, former Oregon Duck, that everyone is really hoping that he does really well this year, but he hasn't even secured the starting gig yet. But he will over time. I mean, he's the Rolls Royce. He's going to get it. But we've got plenty of football chatter for you tonight. We've got NFL football, college football, every kind of football you can imagine we're going to talk about. We're going to give you all the previews you've been dying to see and some that you probably don't even want to hear about depending on which fan base you're from. But before we get into all that, I want to bring in the co-pilot for the show, Mr. Bryant Knox, at Bryant Knox on Twitter, the Bryant Knox, for those of you in the know. Bryant, how are you doing? You know, we were a little worried about you earlier. You went missing. We had to send out, you know, all cars. Thank goodness that the Portland Police Department stood up for you and found you. Where were you? Where have you been tonight?
Yeah, I appreciate your holding off and delaying this starting point here for me on my behalf. Huge shout out to, by the way, Roxy's Island Grill here in the Portland, Beaverton area. You know, there's a little mix up with my order, which caused our delay, and that definitely happens. I know ill will toward them because of that, but they more than made up for it with just gobs of free food. It's delicious food anyway, so I highly recommend everybody out there checks it out. No, this is not a sponsorship thing. They're not paying us to say this. I just genuinely feel like good service deserves good recognition. And so major shout out to Roxy's Island Grill. If you happen to hear me taking a bite during this podcast, I do apologize. I know that's obnoxious. I promise I won't be quite as obnoxious as CJ McCollum and Kevin Durant, like, mowing down on grapes for 48 minutes during their podcast. I know that most people only heard the sound bites of KD saying, "Don't worry about what happens at the top" and all that fun stuff. But if you happen to listen to the whole thing, you heard them, like, seriously chomping down on some literally just grapes for, like, an hour. I promise I'm not going to do that. But I may sneak a bite of some just delicious, like, teriyaki chicken and mac salad at some point. So shout out to those guys. And yeah, happy to be here.
Bryant, it would really set us back from some of our fan base if I don't say this pun that I'm ashamed to say, but are you saying you have sour grapes about listening to them chomp on grapes?
Yes. 100%. I'll say slight pun intended.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Well, we've got a lot of football to cover. I know I'm excited about football season. It's like Christmas morning for 9 months. How are you feeling? Is this the time of year that you really look forward to, or are you kind of sad the summer's coming to an end, even though you get football back?
No, forget the summer. It's been too hot. It's been too smoky.
Bring on the football.
I will say I've actually really enjoyed watching the latter half of the WNBA season, and in particular the WNBA playoffs recently. You know, I put something out on Twitter the other day, and I don't expect anyone listening to have seen this, but I just want to reiterate it, which is that if you're an NBA fan and you love the NBA, it's okay for you to not enjoy watching the WNBA. Those are two very different leagues. But if you identify as a basketball fan and you love the sport of basketball, but you can't wrap your head around the WNBA, then there's a principal issue there that you're struggling to get past. Because Diana Taurasi the other day had one of the most incredible shots you've probably ever seen in basketball history in the WNBA playoffs. up in Seattle. And if you're in the Pacific Northwest and you're not watching the Seattle Storm, like I said, it's okay if you're just an NBA fan, but if you're a basketball fan, you should definitely have your eyes on this. So I only bring that up to say that there have been certain things that have piqued my interest and I've been very happy to watch during these summer months. But for the most part, yeah, I am definitely ready for football to be back, both of the professional and collegiate variety.
I have to admit that I haven't been watching the WNBA recently. It's not that I don't like the WNBA. I'm a big supporter of their league, and I hope that they stick around a lot longer than some of the other professional leagues have. But even the NBA, I have times where I just go through lulls where I'm not able to watch their level of play. I just don't feel like it's the way it was when I was a kid, and people will call me crazy for that, but there's just so many games available now. I feel like I'm actually at a disadvantage having so much awareness of what's going on, because it's like in the NFL, if there's a game like Cleveland playing Buffalo, I have no interest in that game, and I don't feel bad about saying that. And I don't think that I should feel bad about saying that about any other sport or any other league of any other sport. And yet I think there is a stigma that if you don't watch the WNBA, you're seen as not supporting that league. And that's not the case at all. I just don't watch every game.
No, and you're spot on right there, which is that, you know, I don't think anybody can claim that the WNBA is overexposed. I don't think that's the issue. But I do think that your point still rings true, which is that this time of year, you're looking for certain sports, you're looking for certain league action. And so if you don't watch the WNBA, that's totally, totally fine. But there are some people out there who just refuse to acknowledge that it's quality basketball. And I think
which
if you're
is not
refusing
the case.
To acknowledge... No, that's not the case at all. And so I think that, you know, one thing that football has going for it is the fact that the seasons, you know, you're going to hear all the news stories throughout the week. You're going to hear all the drama. You're going to see the highlights. You're going to see the highlights more than ever, actually, which I think is probably a good thing.
It
but
is.
To your point, it does overexpose the league quite a bit. But the thing that the NFL has going for it is that you have one game a week if you're following just one team, and that can really help you kind of build up the anticipation for that one game. You know, like you said, the Cleveland Browns might be playing your favorite team, and that's your one chance of the entire year to see the Cleveland Browns. So I think that there's a lot of things that football has to offer that other sports don't, which is why this time of year is particularly exciting.
I just want them to get back to like the showcase. You know, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember when I was a kid, which was about the same time you were, the NBC would have the Sunday showcase, and they'd have like a really premier matchup, and you knew if you tuned into that matchup on Sunday morning, you would see a really killer game most of the time. Whereas now there's so many games on all the time, just because it's on TV doesn't mean it's going to be good. And I wish they would get back to having premier matchups, and it's okay if not every team is on TV all the time. I know that's never going to happen with the new TV deals they have and profit sharing and making sure smaller markets get more of those dollars so they can have inflated salary caps and spread around the talent, which still doesn't happen anyway. But I would just love to see where I'm not asked to watch every basketball game ever, regardless of who's playing or what the league is or the level of playing ability.
Yeah, and to that point, I refuse to buy NFL Red Zone because I don't want to start to feel that way. I don't want to feel like I'm seeing every single game, just the scoring drives. I know that some people love that, especially fantasy owners love that. And, you know, you and I have talked quite a bit about fantasy football anyway, so I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Right.
But I choose that the NFL in particular, I don't want to overexpose myself. I want to remain a little bit ignorant about certain teams in the way that I want to remain a little bit ignorant about going and seeing a movie that I'm very excited about. I don't want to see the extended trailer that's going to show me every single moment that's going to, you know, pique my interest. I want to have some sort of mystery there still. And that's why I still try to catch the SportsCenter top 10 when it comes to the NFL. I still try and check the highlights, but I'm not trying to just sit down for 10 hours in a row and see every single team on my TV. That's just not how I choose to approach it.
No, and I'm not saying that they should get rid of the broadcast. It's just maybe we don't need 900 channels anymore. Maybe it's okay to only have 30 and just watch what's on.
Sure.
So, I mean, I've gotten to the point now where I'll keep my ear to the ground on the Thursday night game. It's not always a very good game, so I typically don't watch the whole thing. I'll watch Green Bay play, and I'll watch Seattle play, and then if they're not the national broadcast that week, I might tune into that game if it's a really good matchup. And Sunday night, it depends on the matchup. Sometimes I'm so done with football that weekend that I'm not going to watch yet another game just to watch it. And I'll be honest, by the time Monday rolls around, I'm ready for that week of football to be over and moving on to my next fantasy matchup. I'm not really interested in the Monday night game a lot of the time unless Green Bay or Seattle are playing, or it's a premier matchup like Steelers and Patriots or something like that.
Right. Makes sense.
So anyway, let's get into some NFL talk. So first things first. Is there anything more excruciating than preseason week 4 that we're going through right now, where you're just watching the non-starters fight for roster positions in crystal clear HD? I mean, is there anything worse?
No, week 4 honestly ends up being like week 3 is such a tease because week 3 is when we actually see
the dress rehearsal.
Yeah, you actually see the starters play semi-significant minutes. You see the guys who are already in the rotation get out there and play. Yes, you definitely see some of the players who are competing for position as well, especially in the second half of games. But week 3 is always when you kind of get your first real glimpse at what a team is going to look like. And then you go into week 4 and you see, oh, wait, no. This isn't the last opportunity for guys to shine. This is the last opportunity for stars to rest.
Right.
And it's just, it's really, unless you are a diehard fan of like the 50th man on the roster, you're really not getting what you're looking for at a week 4. So I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see it behind us and the regular season just on the horizon.
And there is one good thing that comes out of week 4, and that's that as soon as this week is over, we're on to week 1 of the regular season. That we're less than a week away from the kickoff. We get Philadelphia and Atlanta. We're not really sure which Philadelphia is going to show up because they have so many players coming back from injuries or surgeries or both. And Atlanta's always a good team to watch because they're such an offensive juggernaut. They don't necessarily know who they are on defense yet. But they have Dan Quinn, who's one of the best defensive play callers and strategizers out there. So we'll see what they have to offer next Thursday night on NBC. NFL kickoff officially starts. But the team that we're really going to talk about tonight is the Seattle Seahawks. Now, they went 9-7 last year, which, even though they had a winning record, they missed the playoffs for the first time in the Russell Wilson era. They didn't look like they really had a good offensive game plan most weeks. They struggled to score points. Not all the statistics paint that picture, unfortunately. You look at where they lined up in the league as far as points per game and yards per game. They weren't in the bottom of the barrel bottom of the barrel, but on screen they were not producing. They weren't finishing drives with points. They were not consistently beating their opponent until the end. And even those 9 wins, they weren't great. And a lot of those 7 losses were really poor. So what do you expect from them this year? Do you think that they, before we get into their schedule and go over each matchup very quickly, do you think they can win 9 or more games this year? Or do you think they're ready for a fallout?
Well, I don't think they're ready for a huge fallout. I'll give my prediction up front. Or would you rather me save my total prediction for the end?
Let's save it for the end.
Okay, then I will not give an official prediction quite yet. But what I will say is that for them to exceed what they did last year is, in my opinion, going to be not impossible, but very, very, very difficult. That said, I don't think you're looking at a huge drop-off where they enter this rebuilding mode that everybody loves to talk about. I think it's going to be something in between, and I'll save my official prediction for later.
Well, I will remind you that they changed both coordinators on offense and defense. They have basically a whole new starting defense, and their offense has some kinks to work out. So we'll get into that later, but there's so many moving pieces and moving targets of this team right now. I'm not sure anyone can accurately predict what they're going to do. I just think it's, to err on the side of caution, it's tough to say they're going to have a winning season when they had so many changes.
Agreed.
So let's get into their schedule. So they start out the season on the road at Denver. Out of the gate, do you think they're in Denver also reloaded a little bit? They're also in the middle of a kind of rebuild. They lost Aqib Talib to the Los Angeles Rams. They lost Trevor Siemian to the Minnesota Vikings. They brought in Case Keenum, who was the Minnesota Vikings quarterback. They drafted Royce Freeman of the Oregon Ducks, who they believe will be their starter, but there's some competition there. They still have a pretty decent passing game and a really solid defense, even without Aqib Talib. They still have Chris Harris Jr. and Bradley Roby and Von Miller and just a whole host of defensive talent. Is that a team you think Seattle can win in week one? On the road.
Can they win? Yes. And the reason I think that is because early on, I think the Seahawks could probably surprise some folks. I think that Denver's defense is always going to be solid at worst, and that's a huge compliment to Denver. And I think that that defense could come out and catch them, you know, doing some things that we expect Seattle to do. But I also think that the Seahawks could come out, surprise them quite a bit, maybe a little more consistency in the backfield than Denver expects. I think the offensive line is something that is notably improved, but probably not something that opposing teams are looking to exploit right out of the gate. And what I think this game comes down to is that Seattle keeps it very, very close. We end up with a game that comes down basically to the wire, but I actually do think Denver comes out victorious. Now, like I said, I think Seattle can win this game, and I think that if you're looking at it, a field goal swing one way or the other, Seattle certainly has a chance at getting the W. But I'm taking Denver at home at this point in the process.
I agree with that. I think it will be a close matchup, and I don't necessarily know that Seattle's going to hang around throughout. I think this is one that Denver could probably pull away with in the fourth quarter. But I do think for the first half, at least, it'll be a very tight contest. And then maybe Denver pulls away after that with some key turnovers. But I think it'll be an easy one for Seattle to make their mark. But I think that they will come away with a loss in week one. So then in week two, they go to Chicago, which we know Chicago has made their own version of wholesale changes. They changed their coaching staff. They changed a lot of their offensive players and personnel. They've got some changes on defense. Mark Helfrich is actually their offensive coordinator now. They have Matt Nagy as their new head coach, and Vic Fangio is their defensive coordinator, who many of you remember from his San Francisco days under Jim Harbaugh. You've got Mitch Trubisky coming into his second year. He doesn't have a ton of experience under his belt. He's got Allen Robinson now at wide receiver. He has Trey Burton at tight end. He's got Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen at running back, and some decent pieces on defense. Not anybody that's really amazing, but some solid pieces. It's Soldier Field, so it's always tough sledding on that turf over there. How do you see Seattle doing this on their second week in a row on the road?
I actually think Seattle gets an easy win here. Chicago is like 27th or 28th. I can't remember off the top of my head. But 27th or 28th in terms of Super Bowl odds this year. And no, that's not like a definitive ranking necessarily. But I do think it's pretty fitting for them that they're going to be toward the bottom of the league. I know that Seattle actually isn't much better in terms of Super Bowl odds. I think the Seahawks have something like the 20th or 21st best odds to win the Super Bowl. So they're not too far ahead. But I think that they are a tier above the Bears, and I think they show that with a 10 to 13 point win in week two.
I agree with that. I think Chicago is going to surprise some people this year, but I think they are another team that changed so many things that I don't see them pulling it off this early. Some people are seeing them as the Eagles or Rams 2.0, but I think one thing the Eagles and Rams both had going for them is that they already had a lot of these pieces in the first place, and then they just upped it another level in the second year. Now, the Rams obviously changed their offensive coaching staff and their head coach and play caller, but other than that, most of their offensive personnel was pretty much the same other than Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods, which and Cooper Kupp, and I guess the list is go on a little bit deeper than I thought it did originally, but they weren't like a whole new team on paper. They just had a different playing style, and maybe that's the difference in Chicago, and we'll see if that's the case. I've just seen so many reloading or rebuilding projects in Chicago over the last several years. It's one of those I'll believe it when I see it, which is the same thing I said about the Rams, and they were shockingly good out of the gate. I think everyone was blown away at how good they really were. The Eagles wasn't as impressed with because they've been good before and more recently. The Bears, though, they're either so bad or they're so good, and I'm not sure which one they're going to be this year, but I think in week two, Seattle wins, so I'll agree with you there. So far, we're on the same page. Week three, they finally get to host a game. They bring in the Dallas Cowboys. This one, I think, will be pretty tough, and I do think the Cowboys will win this one. And I don't like the sound of that because I don't like Seattle losing their home opener, but I just think Dallas has enough firepower on both sides of the ball. This will be a tough game for Seattle to keep pace in.
I actually have Seattle winning this game and going to 2-1 on the season for two reasons. One, I think that Dallas is still going to probably be figuring out who Dak Prescott's major go-to wide receiver option is. I think that the team overall is going to be better without Dez Bryant. I think Dez Bryant became a distraction, and I think that he was not nearly as valuable per touch as he had been in years past. And so I think that they will figure it out, but I don't think this is the week that they figure it out. And the other reason I think Seattle gets a win is because I think this game becomes known as the Rashad Penny game. I think that
all in on him, aren't you?
I am, man. If anybody out there listened to the podcast recently, you heard me talking about him. I think that this is where we really start to see him kind of establish himself as the go-to option in the backfield, and I don't think that Dallas sees that coming. So I think the Seahawks get a win and improve to 2-1.
I have to admit that I don't think they're going to make a change at running back after a win on the road and for their home opener. I think Chris Carson will still be the lead back in this game. I don't think you're wrong that Penny's the better talent and will be the starter going forward eventually. I just think week three is a little early for that change. Unless Carson had some big blunders earlier.
And you know what? I think you're 100% correct. I don't think you necessarily see a change, but I think you start to see a minor change in the guard where Penny starts to get more touches. I think that he comes out and probably breaks a big one for 30, 40, 50, 60 yards, and that's when we start to pay attention to him. And so I think that this isn't the game where he becomes the official go-to starting back, but I think this is the game where we start to really have that conversation, and I think he's the difference maker in this one.
I can see that happening, and I can see them coming out maybe the start of the third quarter and deciding they're going to have a more physical running game and putting him in instead of Carson, or at least giving him more opportunities. But I could also see Dallas jumping out to an early lead and Seattle having to play catch-up most of the game, which is, with their young defense and very little pass rush so far, I'm curious if that's what's going to happen. But we'll split the decision on that one. We'll move on. So they go on the road yet again in week four to Arizona. That one I've got them winning. I think they'll be ahead of Arizona by that point. I think Arizona might be the better team at the end of the year, but I think right now, on paper, Seattle is a better team, and they come away with the win on the road.
I 100% agree with you. I know a lot of people are excited to see David Johnson back in the lineup, and I think that, you know, the loss of Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor could, or Richard Sherman in particular. And last year, when they lost Cam Chancellor to the season-ending injury, you saw sort of a different team, but kind of a team that prepared you for what Arizona might have to see this year.
Right.
And I still think that that lineup is going to be better than Arizona. I disagree with you that Arizona is going to be better by the end of the year. I think Seattle is just a notch ahead of them. And I think that this game, you know, a week four contest having late season implications really is not something most people talk about. But I think that as far as the division rankings go, this could be an important game. And I think Seattle edges them out and improves to 3-1.
Well, I'll let you in on a secret that the reason I'm saying they'll be the better better team by the end of the season is they are Seattle's Week 17 matchup. So there's a little precursor here, a little bit. Week four doesn't usually speak volumes, but that's the first quarter of the season. A lot of times you can kind of tell what a team is going to do and not do by then. But some teams are late bloomers, and I just feel like Arizona is going to figure it out by the end of the year. But we'll see.
I assume you meant week 17, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you might have said week 7.
Week 17, final week. That's final week of the season.
Yep. See, I just figured it out. You said week 17, and I thought you said week 7 team.
Oh, gotcha.
the
radio, the ladies and gentlemen, you know. Radio.
Yes.
not an exact science yet. We're working on it.
We'll do it live.
We promise. We'll do this in person. So then the next week they get to host the Rams, and I have that down as a loss. I think the Rams are going to be even better than last year with an improved pass rush, an improved secondary. They'll still have one of the best offenses in the league. I just don't think Seattle can hang with them this early. Maybe later on in the season, but I think early on LA's going to have their number. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the Rams beat Seattle the last time they were in Seattle by 35 points. And LA is better since then, and Seattle is worse since then. And I'm not saying we're going to have a matchup that is decided by more than 35 points.
Right.
Because that would just be a silly prediction. But there's basically, as big of a Seahawks fan as you are, you have to understand that this game is probably not going to go your way.
Right.
And I personally have them dropping this one and falling to 3-2.
Yeah, I think it'll be uglier than the average fan wants to admit, but something to look forward to is that, you know, when Seattle was in their heyday as many as 5 years ago, the Rams were beating them pretty consistently, even though they were usually one of the worst teams in the league. So just because the Rams are better on paper doesn't mean it's an automatic win. We're just circling it that way in our preview. I hope Seattle wins that game. I just don't expect them to.
Yeah, a huge game from Russell Wilson could be the difference maker because they're gonna have to put up points in that game.
Maybe that's the game that Penny breaks out as a starter. Who knows?
There we go. Now we're talking.
There it is. So, which is why they lose. You know, bad news, Bryant. That's why they lost. Oh, well.
Oh, no.
So, after that, they go to Oakland for a rematch of their preseason week 4 game, which took place this week. For those of you that were stubborn enough to watch it, I was one of them. I've went back and forth on this one. I think Oakland wins that game only because they're the home team. I know that's such a cowardly way to make predictions, but that's what I'm going with. I think this is one the black hole takes home. What do you think?
We're talking week 6 at Oakland?
Yep.
I actually thought that game was overseas. Is it not?
Could be.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to look into this, and I totally, totally agree that that makes a huge difference here, but I think that that game might actually be in, like, London or something, and if that's the case, then I'm probably picking the Raiders just because I think that on a neutral field with Marshawn Lynch probably looking to, exact some revenge. You probably have a Raider-centric crowd there as well. But again, I would probably need to look into where exactly that game's going to be, because if I misread that, then I'm way off.
It actually is in London, but I'm sticking with my pick.
Okay, well, you know, as I say it out loud, my reasoning leans toward Oakland regardless. Because here I am saying, oh, the Seahawks don't have a home-friendly crowd, but that's not going to be the case in Oakland or London.
Right.
So I think I'm going Oakland in this game. I think Marshawn Lynch probably has one of his better games of the year in that contest, and I think that you probably see Seattle fall to 3-3 at that point.
Well, and Oakland is used to playing on a traditionally lousy playing field that they share with the Oakland A's. And Wembley Stadium is notorious for having a really bad pitch. So you're probably going to see a lot of running and tough sledding, similar to the Chicago game. And I just feel like that's a game that plays to I feel like it places Seattle's strengths, but I feel like Oakland will do better with it because they'll prepare better for it.
No, I think so, too. I think I'm picking Oakland in that one.
Yeah. We don't necessarily have the best reasons for it, but just watch the game and tell us what you think. plus, week four goes the way I think it's going to, preseason week four, that is, not in the books yet, I think Oakland might have a little vengeance on their side, which nobody is out for revenge after a preseason loss, but John Gruden is one insane individual, so don't put it past him.
True so, story.
The next week, Bryant, without even looking at the schedule, just knowing how good of friends we are, we've known each other since kindergarten. I know for sure you're going to agree with me on the next one. The Seattle will not lose.
You know what? I was actually going to say they weren't going to win.
So either way, you know, we just, great minds think alike. It's the bye week. They get a week off, which good on the NFL for scheduling the bye week after the NFL, the London game. Because I think a couple years ago, the Colts got stuck playing Jacksonville or somebody in London and then had to play a game the following week. And there was a lot of chatter about how that shouldn't be legal, that, you know, NFL legal anyway, not legal. But in this case, the NFL got it right, so we'll move on. At Detroit, the week after the bye, I've got them beating the Lions. I think the Lions are actually a grossly overrated team. People continue to talk up Matthew Stafford in the passing game. It's one of those, another one, I'll believe it when I see it. They haven't been a premier unit in the NFL in a while. I don't love the defense. I think Matt Patricia has a lot of work to do to prove that he was a good hire. I haven't been impressed with New England's defense in, 12 years. So I guess we'll wait and see if that's really the case, if he's this defensive mastermind everyone gives him credit for. I just think Seattle wins this game, even though it's on the road.
I also have them winning this game, but man, I gotta be honest. I went through more debate than I'm probably willing to actually admit on this one, because I think for really no reason at all, this is going to be a dangerous game. And the main reason I say that has nothing to do with the competition on the field. I just think it's a classic trap game. I think you're right that the Lions are overrated. I think that coming off of a bye week and the week before being overseas, I think that they could really just kind of look past the Lions to the following week, which is going to be the Chargers. And it's a classic trap game for them. So I think they pull it off, but I think it's not as easy of a win as some people might project. I think this could be one of those down-to-the-wire field goal touchdown games for sure. But I do have the Seahawks winning and improving to 4-3.
I think that if they win the Oakland game, you're 100% correct. If they lose the Oakland game, they're coming off back-to-back losses. I think they'll really want this one, and they won't overlook it.
Yep, I think that's fair.
So we'll put that one as a circled win. The next week they have the Chargers. So I'm going to say my prediction, but I'm going to give you a caveat that I believe Seattle will win this game, but I think it's only because traditionally San Diego is pretty banged up by this point in the season. If they are at full strength, I think they win this game. If they are missing a key player, which they typically are, I don't think Seattle loses this game.
I can buy into that. I think that me personally, I'm not too high on the idea that they're going to come into this game. And, you know, last year there were, five takeaways, five turnovers that the Seahawks forced to get this win.
Right.
That was early in the year. It was a sloppy game. I don't necessarily credit their defense as much as maybe some others do, but I think they drop this game, and I think they end up 5-4 after this week, and I think that it's going to be one game that they look back on as one of their not maybe worst losses in terms of point margin, but worst losses in terms of momentum,
the one that got
going
away.
Going into the latter half of the year,
right.
And I think that's going to be unfortunate for them, and they fall in this one.
All right, so we have the record identical to this point, but we disagreed on two games to get here. So we're doing okay. So then the next week they travel to the other LA and play the Rams, which I think the first matchup they'll get a little in over their head and lose by a comfortable margin. Well, not by a comfortable to them, but comfortable to the Rams margin. I think in this game, they'll give the Rams a better showing, and they'll still lose, but it'll be a lot closer.
Yeah, this is a game where actually they also played very sloppy early in the season last year, and some people could look at it. I think it's apples and oranges because the Rams are a different team.
Right.
But you know what? I think they actually bounce back after a scary, let's say a scary win against Detroit. And I think they bounce back from that loss. And I think they actually pull off a very surprising win against the Rams in this one.
Yeah. Fair enough. So then, and
I don't know. I can't remember exactly where the Rams were as far as Super Bowl odds go. But I know that I'm not as high on them as most people are. Mm-hmm. So I may just be a little biased in this and I'm completely wrong. But my feeling is that the Rams are slightly, ever so slightly overrated coming into this game. And Seattle just finds a way to really come back and steal one.
I'm just looking at it and going, so I've got either run on Aaron Donald and Sue. Now you're going to try to attempt to say his first name. I've never been good at it. And then if I can't do that, I've got to throw on Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib. I don't like either of those options. And then on defense, I've got to slow down that offense that was one of the best surprises of last season, and they should only be better this year. I think you're right. The Seattle can give them a run for their money. I just don't see it being pulled off, to be honest.
And like I said, you are not the only one to feel that way. And I think that reasonable minds can disagree here. Yeah. Hopefully what I said makes some sense because I think what you said makes it. And I think what you said makes a ton of sense as well. So I think that we can, you know, have a fun debate this week does actually come around, because I'll be excited to see how it plays out.
Absolutely. Well, and we've seen dream teams on paper fall apart in real life. This wouldn't be the first time. So it's not like the Rams are a guarantee to be good. It's just if all of their pieces gel correctly the way we think they're going to, it should be a scary team.
And hey, as long as we're on LA dream teams falling apart, can I just say that my favorite failed dream team of all time is the Dwight Howard, Steve Nash Lakers.
Isn't that everyone's?
Don't get me wrong. I do also love the Gary Payton, Karl Malone Lakers that fell to the Pistons in the finals. That was fantastic as well. But anyone who thought that the Lakers were going to give up some first-round picks and automatically become contenders, I was very, very stoked when you know, that didn't work.
Right. Well, we'll see if that's the same case this year with that team, but you never know. The next week, they host Green Bay. I looked at this game from a lot of different angles, trying my best not to be biased for either team, because I am a Green Bay Packer fan for life, but I do really appreciate what the Seahawks bring to the table. I live in the Northwest. I like to watch them. I root for them when they're not playing Green Bay. I just think Green Bay can win this game. I don't think Seattle has enough firepower on either side of the ball to keep up in a shootout. So unless it's like a sloppy, rain-filled game, I think Green Bay wins this one pretty easily.
I agree. As long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, I think they win this one by at least two touchdowns.
If it were in Lambeau, I'd say it's a guarantee. It's in Seattle, so there's still some mystique to the C-Link, but I just don't see Seattle coming away with that one, especially after if they get humbled by the Rams, I think it's just as bad of a loss. I think if they somehow beat the Rams, they'll be on cloud nine and not necessarily play their best in this one and think they're a little bit better than they really are.
Yep, and I know that a lot of the team has moved on to other teams or retired at this point, but the Packers still feel something special coming into Seattle because of the replacement referee in for this game. There's no doubt that guys like Aaron Rodgers and the guys who were still around at that point, they feel something a little different, a little special coming into that stadium. And, you know, even if that's not necessarily a major talking point however many years later it is now, it's still in the back of their minds. And
well, the 2014 like Aaron Rodgers, NFC Championship game was only a few years ago, and that's even more
exactly.
recent.
And guys like Aaron Rodgers, they do not forget.
They don't. And Jimmy Graham's a Green Bay Packer now. I think that will be some drama because
sure.
he's a huge red zone target, and I think it'd be fun for Green Bay to use him in the red zone against his former team. Pete Carroll and Mike McCarthy have a notorious rivalry. You know, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers really like each other and respect each other, but there's been some quiet jabs in the media between the two of them at each other, not necessarily calling each other out, but very playfully pointing out what the other one may or may not have said or indicated. And I think that while there's not necessarily a sibling rivalry here, it's more like a cousin rivalry. Like, they really respect each other, but they love to beat the other one.
Yep, completely agree. And I think you'll probably get Russell Wilson playing a very great game because of that. But I think the Packers will come in as a team at large on a mission. And I think that will be mission successful for sure.
So then the next week, they got to go across to Carolina and take on the Panthers. I struggled with this one, too, because I think Seattle on paper can beat Carolina. I just think on the road in North Carolina, probably not going to be the greatest weather. They're going to have a really tough-to-beat offense. Their defense is underrated. I think this is when Seattle loses, but it's really close.
I agree. I think they drop it, and it kills me to say that because Cam Newton bugs me. Christian McCaffrey doesn't really do anything for me at the pro level. The fact that Jonathan Stewart's gone doesn't help me root for them either.
Right.
So I'm not sure there's anything, as far as my own fandom goes, I'm not sure there's any redeeming qualities for the Panthers at this point, but I do think that they pull off a win within a touchdown for sure.
Right. So then we'll preview. We're making up words now. We'll preview the next matchup is San Francisco at home, and then they have San Francisco 2 weeks later at San Francisco. I'm just going to call both of those wins. I don't think San Francisco will beat Seattle this year. I think Garoppolo is the real deal, and he'll be the savior of that franchise, but I don't think it's this year. I think they've got too many missing pieces still, and I think that Seattle can beat them both times. What do you think?
I'm actually going 50-50 on this one. I think that the home team wins both times. I think that Seattle wins the first game. Which week are we on at that point? Was it 13?
Yep.
Okay, so I think Seattle wins week 13 at home, and then flash forward 2 weeks into the future, and I think we have San Francisco getting a win there. As far as the point margin goes, I think, honestly, we get a close Seattle win and kind of a blowout San Francisco win 2 weeks later. I do think that the 49ers at home find a way to disrupt that Seattle offense, and I think that makes a difference. I think it ends up being something like a 21-7 game, kind of an ugly slugfest, but where Seattle fails to make the big play, whereas San Francisco gets one or two big plays.
Right.
But I think that Seattle probably gets a close win at home 2 weeks prior.
Fair enough. That puts us, I believe, right back at square one, where we both have the same record now, but on different games. So, Minnesota is their week 14 opponent. It's at home, but I think that with Minnesota's firepower on defense, and by then the Kirk Cousins show will be a freight train, I don't think Seattle can win this one, even though it's at home. What do you think?
Now, Minnesota at this point is going to be in playoff mode. And I think that they are, you know, it would be ignorant to say they're going to have their eyes on the Super Bowl. But the fact is, they are a top five team this year in terms of Super Bowl odds, according to Vegas.
Right.
And that's not by accident. I think that this time of year, you know, if they had happened to play them in week three or four, or even maybe six or seven, they could have either caught them before they hit their stride, or they could have caught them in a midseason lull. But this late in the year, I don't think they're going to have either of those luxuries, and I think Minnesota walks away with the win, even though Seattle has the luxury of being at home in this one.
Agreed. So then we've already covered the San Francisco game in week 15, so moving on to week 16, They host Kansas City. I think that'll be a really tight game, and we'll see a lot of points because neither team has a defense I trust. But I think Kansas City will come away with a narrow win. What do you think?
I've got Seattle in this one. Okay. I don't feel like Kansas City is going to be able to get much going in terms of their quarterback play or really offensive play at all on the road. And I think that Seattle is going to fully exploit that. And I think that, you know, at this point, I don't quite know what the playoff projections are going to be at this point, because I think Seattle's going to be a little bit out of it, but still somewhat on the cusp. And I think that we might see sort of a little too late in the year, but I think we might see our first real like Legion of Boom esque performance here. And so I think that we get a nice victory heading into the final week of the season.
I think it'd be really neat to see that. I've seen what Andy Reid can do with young offensive players, and I think he'll have them ready to score on Seattle. I think that this will be a highly a tightly contested game, and I think Seattle can win it. I've seen so many seasons of his teams do so well regardless of who he's got at the controls, and I just feel like he'll have Patrick Mahomes ready to go.
Which is a very fair point. I think Mahomes is one of those guys who has kind of a boom or bust label on him right now. Absolutely. I honestly don't know what sort of the consensus is, whether he's going to be boom or bust. I think that it's probably fairly binary, and I don't know what the percentage is one way or the other. I just know that I'm worried about him really finding a ton of consistency throughout the year. And like I said, I think Seattle gets one of its first real just dominant defensive performances here.
Right.
And that puts him over the edge.
I think he'll have Kareem Hunt to lean on if he can stay healthy. He's got Tyreek Hill, who's just a monster of speed and agility. He's got Travis Kelce, who's one of the best tight ends in the league. He's got some really, and the defense is not great, but they're good enough. I think that they'll surprise people. I think Mahomes is absolutely boom or bust. I would say, without even looking at the data, that he's probably leaning towards more boom than bust right now with the experts, but they haven't seen him in a full regular season game. They saw him against Denver last year, and he was okay. He lost that game, but I think that was a really good training ground for him, and he'll have some really good tools around him. It'll be a lot like Russell Wilson's rookie year, to be honest. He'll have a really good running game, an underrated defense, and we'll see if he can put it all together. But it wouldn't surprise me if he was totally flopping by that point.
Yep, I totally see where you're coming from, and I think that it's going to be one of the more interesting cases to study throughout the year, to be honest.
Agreed. So lastly, we have the Week 17 matchup with Arizona, rematch of Week 4. I have Arizona winning this game. I think by then they'll have a really high-profile offense with Sam Bradford fully healthy, a good offensive line, David Johnson running the ball. They'll have Larry Fitzgerald and Christian Kirk, and a really good host of options in the passing game. And a really underrated defense yet again. I mean, Patrick Peterson's a beast. They've got a lot of pieces there. They don't have Tyrann Mathieu anymore, but I think this will be one of the teams that we'll be surprised by late in the season. I don't think either of them will go to the playoffs, but I think Arizona will finish the job on Seattle in Week 17.
I think Arizona gets it too. I think it's probably, and I hope this doesn't come across as like taunting either fan base here, but I think that this is probably one of the most entertaining Week 17 games that doesn't really matter.
Right.
I think that by the end of the year, you're probably going to see the fact that neither of these guys are going to go on to play meaningful games in the postseason. But I think it ends up being a very exciting game. You said Seattle at home, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that, man, if we could get like 56-yard field goal to win the game in walk-off fashion, that's kind of what I predict coming out of this game from Seattle, or excuse me, from Arizona. But I think that it's one of those games that is really going to come down to the wire, and fans of each fan base will remember, but the national fan base is already going to be moved on to the national season or the postseason, that the national audience isn't really going to be focusing on it, unfortunately.
Well, we're at 50 minutes, so we got to hurry up and get out of here. So we'll have to wrap up the last couple of segments in lightning round fashion. So to close up the NFL segment with the Seahawks preview, after going through all 16 weeks of games, you have them at 8-8. I have them at 7-9. So pretty close. I think we see them as a very similar team. We just don't always agree on which teams are going to win or lose against. But we're only separated by one game, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that the nice part about this, to be honest, is that even though, you know, we had a couple disagreements about which games will go each way,
right,
we are close, but we also both agree they're probably going to be just short of the postseason.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of where Seattle stands, is that there's going to be a lot of internal debate. There's going to be a lot of exciting matchups, but when it comes down to it, they are going to spend this year kind of figuring out who they are. And we, as a fan base and as the media, are also going to figure out who they are as well. So there's going to be a lot of storylines for sure.
So then to close it out, we don't have time to get into our college football segments, unfortunately, so we'll just do them really quick. I'll tell you that what I was going to present to you was Oregon went 7-6 last year. I asked the question, can they win 8 games or more? After looking at their schedule, I have them at 7-5. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I do, and I think it's fair, but just like the last segment, I'm going to one-up you, and I think they win 8 games.
Fair enough.
Again, I think that reasonable minds can debate this team anywhere from 7 wins to probably 9 wins, and I think you're going to have reasonable arguments either way, but because I think that is their stretch, I'm kind of copping out and putting them right in the middle at 8 wins.
Fair enough.
And I will say... that may include their bowl win as well if they get a favorable bowl matchup. But again, like I said, I'm copping out. Sure. So.
And then Oregon State, they won 1 game last year. I have them going 4-8 this year. What do you think?
I know I'm going to come across as a bitter duck, but I have them at 2 wins.
That's still better than last year. Well,
it is. It's 200% improvement, or excuse me, 100% improvement, 200% right. The wins. But I will be happy to dive into why specifically in a future week. But yeah, I've got them at 2 wins.
Yeah, we can. We'll obviously not be able to present preview on week 1 because that's happening this weekend. But they're both non-conference. You got Oregon facing Bowling Green, and you have Oregon State playing Ohio State sans Urban Meyer, and we'll see how that goes, but I expect the Ducks to win handily and the Beavers to put up a fight and maybe cover the spread but not win. But and it's in the horseshoe. I mean, they have it, their work cut out for them, but it was a really nice job of them to put that on the schedule. I respect it. And with that, we'll move on to next week. We appreciate you guys tuning in and checking us out. Check out Bryant on Twitter, at Bryant Knox. Check out at Oregon Sports Guy on Twitter. That's me, Casey Mavitt. He's Bryant Knox. This is Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. Everybody have a fun but ultimately safe Labor Day weekend. We'll see you next week for week 1 of NFL and officially week 2 of college football. Good night, stay tuned, and stay safe out there, Portland.